Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. This is part 2 of 2.
Christianity, true Christianity, is about the book, the Word of God. Look at this. This is kind of a play on a bumper sticker some of you have seen probably through the years. No word, N-O, no word, no faith. Or you can say no, K-N-O-W, no word, no faith. The only way you're going to know faith, the only way you're going to grow in faith is through the Word of God. Now, how does this work? I've taught this on a couple of occasions here, but this is something that we have to repeat because people just don't seem to grasp it. When you preach the gospel to a lost soul, that's all you can do, preach that gospel. There's something they have to do. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Turn over there. 1 Thessalonians, right before 2 Thessalonians. Profound, I know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It's going to tell you how it works. Now, this had to be how it worked in you if you're saved today. And this is how it has to work in those that you preach the gospel to. It doesn't work any other way. It's not real simple. We're going to explain it here. Beginning in verse 13. Read it with me. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now look closely at what you just read. When you received the word of God, that's when you heard the gospel, that's when the lost people hear it from you. When you received the word of God, look what has to happen. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Listen, you had to believe that you were hearing words from God, and that the gospel is the only way of salvation when you heard that. You had to understand that only one, Jesus, died on the cross, shed His blood, and paid for your sins. No matter what other religion you were in, or no religion at all, you had to understand, I have to repent of where I am right now because I have been trusting in either nothing, hoping that when I die I just get buried, or I've been trusting in some false religion with a false gospel. There had to be a repentance where you realize this is from God. This is God's Word. This is the gospel that saves. And here's the dilemma you have when you're out preaching to everybody else around you. Listen close. The public schools, and most of what you see on television related to science is a satanic undermining of the gospel ministry. Because they teach your children that there is no God. You say they don't come right out and say that. Well, some do. But others, it's implied that we're all here because of a big bang when nothing exploded. Nothing exploded, first of all, is insanity. Amen. That's called education. Right. And then from nothing, everything appeared and was nothing but gas. That part they've got right. The Big Bang Theory is just one big gas. Amen. But somehow, gravity caused the elements of gas, different elements, to come and fall in on itself. And some got really hot and stayed hot, and we call those stars. Others got hot but then cooled down and became planets. Nothing I've told you so far is based on science. Everything you just heard is contradicted by science. And yet, if you believe in evolution, that's what you've got to accept. Evolution is based on blind faith in nothing exploding. And when you're out there preaching the gospel, that's what you're up against. You're talking to a bunch of people who believe that story and do not believe God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says right here where we're reading that if they do not receive that gospel you're preaching as the Word of God, you might as well be preaching to this wall. So what do? We're going to quit. We're going to give up. We're just going to spend our time. We're going to start having bingo. Ooh, yeah. No. Because there's something that happens when you go out and preach the gospel that even those Darwinians who claim... Turn over to Psalm 14. Keep your finger here. Go over to Psalm 14. An oft-quoted passage, especially around April 1st every year. But I want to look at this verse real quick. Psalm 14. Psalm 14 and verse 1. And this is what, when you preach the gospel to someone who is bought into the evolutionary lie, basically, Darwinianism, this is what you're dealing with. Psalm 14:1, read that with me. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now look at that. There's a reason. You know why it says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God? Because he knows better. Every professing Darwinian, atheist, agnostic, humanist, what New Ager, whatever, when they stand before God at the great white throne judgment, they are going to admit that they knew there was a God. That's why you'll hear preachers say, atheists don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. You say you don't believe in God, I don't believe you. And I believe one of these days you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, who will be seated at a great white throne, and you're going to admit you knew. And that's why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The fool has said in his heart... Look what Jesus said over in John 3. Keeping your finger in 1 Thessalonians 2, but go over to John 3. John the Gospel. Big John. Big John. John chapter 3. And of course, John chapter 3 is an amazing chapter. It's where we're told you must be born again. John 3:3, John 3:7. It's also where we find John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's also where we find verse 19. That's Stephen's favorite verse. At least today. John 3:19. If you're there, read that. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Look close at that. This verse isn't confirming what I said as much as I'm telling you what I'm preaching this morning because of this verse. Jesus says when you go out and you preach the gospel, the light of the gospel, and people can reject it, they will pretend it's because I'm an atheist or I'm agnostic or I'm a New Age or whatever. They will pretend that it's because they believe nothing exploded and stardust became John and stardust became Fred. They love to say that. How many of you seen the Neil deGrasse Tyson, Cosmos? And he looks into the camera and he says, "You are made of the stuff of stars." And there's dramatic music. And if you're in my house, I'm watching. They're in the background, you hear, cuckoo, cuckoo. Why? Because Neil I'd love to be able to witness to him, but I know he has heard the gospel. Neil loves darkness. His predecessor, Carl Sagan, who came out with the first Cosmos special, loved darkness.
Amen.
And now he's in darkness. Anybody who claims to believe that evolutionary lie, anybody who rejects the light and embraces the darkness, Jesus said this. I didn't say this. This isn't Gregology. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now this may sound harsh, but it really ought to be an assurance to you. If you have a mother or a father or a sibling, a brother or sister, you have a grandparent, you have a cousin, nieces, nephews, best friends who have rejected the gospel and you've tried to preach the gospel to them and they give you all these reasons, and they always vomit at the mouth with all these nonsensical reasons why they don't believe the gospel, you can rest assured on the word of Jesus Christ, you're looking at a wicked person. There's wickedness, there's darkness in their heart. And you may say, but they're so nice and sweet. So, you know, you can read about some of the serial killers have been some of the nicest people you'd ever meet. What's the first thing you see when they go on the news and some guy shot up someplace and killed a bunch of people? He was so nice. I never would have dreamed he would do something like that. He had such a sweet family. I mean, once in a while you hear some other stories, but how many times you heard that when somebody's... A woman killed her husband and what, 3 or 4 kids the other day. And everybody said, she was just at church the other day and we were praying and she just never would have dreamed she'd do such a thing. They reject the light because their deeds are evil. And that includes every one of your loved ones, every one of my loved ones, every one of our friends. They can put on a show, but they're hiding their love for sin. And for that reason, back to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, they refuse to receive that gospel you're preaching. They refuse to receive it as the Word of God. They treat it like it's the same thing they get in the mail from, you know, Publisher's Clearinghouse. Or, you know, they treat it like it's just some bogus message. Like when you knock on the door and you try to give them the gospel, they treat you like you're selling Amway or something like that. Why? Jesus says because their deeds are evil. But you, on the other hand, when you received the Word of God, you had to if you're saved this morning, you are at that moment. It's like the first thing you're doing, God's giving you the shield of faith. From the moment you're saved, you have a shield of faith. Now, how many of you, raise your hand if you have a phone, a cell phone. Okay. Now, put your hands down. Now, raise your hand if you've ever left it at home and gone running around without it. Okay? Now, did that do you any good?
No.
Just happened to me the other day, didn't it, Jenny? My cell phone sitting there at my house. It was sitting there with Sebby. And Sebby ain't got no thumbs. So it was no use to Sebby. Amen? That cell phone does you no good. Unless you got it on your person. Amen? That's how many Christians live their Christian life. They've got a shield of faith, but they don't have it on them. They own it. They have the right to it. It's a possession of theirs, but they don't carry it. That's why the Bible says victory in daily living only comes as we live by faith. You've got the shield of faith, but you've got to be living by faith, with that shield as part of your armor.
Amen.
Now, we said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So that means every day you should be doing what?
Reading
your Bible. And we're going to quote some verses at the end to give you an idea of how clear the Bible is. You've got to read your Bible. You need to be memorizing Scripture as best you can.
Amen.
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We sing about it. We ought to be doing it. Hiding the Word. But you also preach the Word. How do you do that? Just quote the Bible. That's all you got to do. You know one of the best compliments that was meant to be a criticism, meant to be a mockery, one of the best compliments I've ever gotten.
Do you ever talk without quoting that Bible? Can you answer a question without quoting the Bible?
Or they'll look at you and say, I've got a question, but I want you to answer it with your opinion and not quote the Bible. How many of you heard that? A few of you? I just say, sorry. Can't do it. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Amen? That's a George Bush joke for you youngins. The first George Bush. The old man. If you don't want to hear the Word of God, then you don't want an answer. I mean, you want me to give my opinion? What kind of fool are you? Greg Miller's opinion ain't worth nothing.
Amen.
Unless it's an opinion based on the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Daily victory comes as we live by faith. That means you basically should be full of the Word of God. Full of it in your head and your heart. And your cup should be overflowing. Somebody should look at you and say, "Ah, nice weather today. Praise God. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I'm just basically mimicking my wife. You ask her, you say something like that, and she'll quote a verse, you know. Or she'll get her phone out and say, wait a minute. I'm going to let her. She has to find it. Then she'll quote it. See that perfect recall? Sometimes it's, I know it's in there. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way we all ought to be.
Amen.
Quoting that Bible. Thinking about that Bible. Watching the news. Bible verses pop right in your head. And what's great is when you're married to someone who loves the Lord like that, or you have parents or siblings like that, or your best friends are like that, and you're sitting there watching the news, and you look at each other and quote the same verse at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you just laugh. And then everybody else at Applebee's is like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
Amen. That's the good life. That's living by faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, I got to move, but I just want to point these things out. To live by faith, you have to know the Word, you have to trust the Word, and you have to walk in the Word.
Amen.
Knowing it isn't the same as trusting it. You have to know it and trust it and walk in it. Make it a part of your daily life. And there's a three basic rules for living by faith, and that is why we are told that this is above all when we first read that verse. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, just like who did? Turn over to Matthew 4, this is the last place we're going to look. I'm sorry, I might have rambled on a little bit too long and taken so long, but you'll get over it. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 4. Beginning of verse 1. We're going to read a few verses here. This is how Jesus did it. He gave us an example. How do you basically block those fiery darts from the enemy? The shield of faith. And what did we learn this morning? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Look at verse 1 says in Matthew 4, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Now, some of you have read this before, hopefully. This is called the wilderness temptation. Verse 2 says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." I've often said that there's only, I think, two places where there was a full 40-day fast. And one of them was God manifest in the flesh. Amen? So be careful about 40-day fasts. But fasting is biblical. And after 40 days and 40 nights, that's a long time, folks. Some of you go 40 minutes and you start wanting a snack. Amen? I mean, I just want to make it real here. 40 days and 40 nights. And so verse 3 says, "And when the tempter," that's Satan, "came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of..." Let me read that. This is how I hear Satan. "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The hiss of the serpent there. And Jesus answered and said, "I am the greatest man on earth. I am..." That's what they teach people to do. They teach people to look in the mirror and just talk to themselves and tell them how great they are. Is that how Jesus fought the battle? No. How many of you have seen that? I mean, that's, I don't think that's new to most of you, is it? You know that's what they do? You go to counseling or you buy some materials and they'll tell you to look in the mirror and tell yourself how wonderful you are. Who was the... before he was a senator, Al Franken played a part on Saturday Night Live. Kinda. And he says, you know, you're good looking and you're nice and doggone it, people like you. And he was making fun of something that was real. That's really what people are being taught. What did Jesus do? That's another fad. What would Jesus do? How many of you got your wristband on? I'm just kidding. Verse 4. Read verse 4 with me. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, Satan's not going to come to you and ask you to turn stones to bread, but Satan is going to tempt you. And the first thing out of your mouth should be the Word of God. Jesus said, it is written. And when Jesus said that, he's talking about the Word of God. It is written. And what's he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by daily devotionals I get in my email.
No.
I'm just saying that's what a lot of Christians, that's all they ever read in the Bible. And it says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's Genesis through Revelation. There's places you'll read the Bible and have no idea why in the world it's important for you to read that. And then one of these days it'll pop in your head and you'll say, whoa, I saw. Ah. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall... they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now look at that. You better watch that. That he's quoting the Bible. Sort of. That's right. How many of you heard people, well, my preacher preaches from the Bible. You know what you tell them? So does Satan. If you're not rightly dividing it, and if you're not quoting it accurately, and you're not using the right Bible, you're in trouble. And most of the churches, sadly, these days, that's what you get. So Jesus said unto him, well, a better translation would be, a better rendering if you use the most reliable and oldest manuscripts. He never did that, did he? So why do preachers do it? Amen? You hear a preacher talking like that, you should turn them off.
Amen.
Verse 7. Read that with me. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Bam. Just like that. Shut him down. Satan will give up after one or two tries though. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse 9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
There's a lot of rock and roll singers and a lot of actors and actresses and people like that who claim to have done that to get where they are. That's why so many of them hang themselves and OD and shoot themselves in the head.
Verse 10, read that. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That's what you're going to be with the Lord in the presence of the angels if you will live by faith.
Amen.
Being saved by faith, then you live by faith. Great is your reward. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to ask, are you seeing the connection each of these have in common? As we've gone through the armor of God, it's connected to the Word of God in one way or another.
Amen.
Everything in the Christian life, including your prayer life, is connected to the Word of God. Read these verses. We're going to read in closing. There's just a couple verses I want to read. Read them with me as I go through this. You'll see little bits and pieces, little tiny lessons that become big lessons as you read. This is from Psalm 119:11. Read that. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That means memorizing the word, memorizing the Bible. It's in your heart. You don't always have to have a Bible around if you've got some verses in your heart. There's times where you don't have the opportunity, especially, Lord forbid, that we ever get thrown in prison. They're not going to throw you a King James Bible while you're in there. If you're being locked up for being a Christian, it's doubtful that you're going to get a Bible given to you. And there are Christians all over the world in prison right now whose sustainment is the Word of God in their heart.
Amen.
Read Psalm 119:28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. If you want strength in the time of need, it better be coming from the Word of God.
Amen.
I hate to tell you, people will let you down.
Yeah.
I posted on Facebook, hospitals will let you down.
Yeah.
You go into hospitals, they don't treat you right these days a lot of times.
Yeah.
Doctors don't treat you right a lot of times. Friends and family won't come to visit you the way they ought to or treat you right. But Jesus will always be there, and it is His Word that He provides your strength. Read Psalm 119:114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. If you've got your hope in this world, if you've got your hope in people, you've got your hope in even churches, denominations, preachers, people at all, you got your hope misplaced. Your hope is in his word.
Amen.
You notice the thing that this is telling you is you could reach the point where you're all alone at some point, and if you've got His Word, you will not be all alone.
That's right.
Read Psalm 138:2. This is the last verse I want to read. Read that with me. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Well, let that sink in. There's a lot of churches today that their claim to fame is they like to sing about Jesus and talk about Jesus, but they're void of the Word. God says He's magnified His Word above His name. Think of that. Somebody's got their priorities wrong. For thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. I've been in churches where they'll just sing the name of Jesus over and over and over like it's an extra. And I think that that somehow conjures up some kind of a spiritual thing. It's not. It's like the heathen. Vain repetition, even though it's the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll close. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for helping us to understand the necessity and the need, Lord, that you can, as a believer, we can own a Bible and we can attend a Bible-believing church. But if we are not taking the Word of God in our own ears and hearts with faith in that Word, we are an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And it's really sad over the years as I've seen people come to their dying days and they are empty of your Word. And when they face death, they face it with lack of assurance, lack of peace. And then throughout life, even before death, so many times I've seen folks facing trials, troubles of various sorts, and they lack the strength and the peace that they could have because they lack the knowledge of the Word of God, they lack the trust, and they have not been walking by faith and living by faith, which comes from your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would convict anyone here right now who is not living in the word and walking in the word.